Support for GLT's Grow comes from Chris Holderly at Advantage Lawn and Landscape, offering customized services for commercial and residential landscaping and property design, including staging for long-term growth during all seasons. Proud to serve Central Illinois. Details at growingadvantage.com. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
We've all seen initials maybe surrounded by a heart carved into a tree. The tree survives, usually, but we also know carving your initials into a tree is wrong. I'm Mike McCurdy. This is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert Patrick Murphy from Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. Murph, how are you?
Good to be with you, Mike. I'm fine. Thank you.
So we're talking about respecting trees and nature. Can you elaborate a little bit?
Well, I go back to my childhood, I guess, on this one, and I recall Smokey the Bear, who said, "Only you can prevent forest fires." I thought that was an interesting, timeless message. And then around the same time period, we had Woodsy the Owl. He said, "Give a hoot, don't pollute." I'm not sure if Woodsy was a he or a she, but Woodsy said,
"Sure,
don't pollute." And this is a vintage message, but the issue is ongoing. So I guess I would ask everyone and you the question, do we need a modern-day Woodsy the Owl? I think it would probably be nice.
I think maybe we're playing that role today.
Oh, what an honor that is.
So how much of what we're going to talk about is just common sense, like don't carve your initials into a tree?
Many tree and nature respect practices and behaviors are common sense, but they deserve reviewing. You should really take nothing but pictures, leave nothing but footprints, and kill nothing but time. Ironically, that's a quote from an old Washington, D.C. brothel.
Oh, really?
Kind of sad.
I had no idea that was from a brothel.
Well, I was doing some brothel history research and came across that. So, yeah.
So I have a piece of petrified wood from, wait for it, Petrified Forest National Park. I didn't take it. A family member lifted it decades ago. This is actually illegal, right?
I think it is.
So what about other plants, rocks, animals from anywhere, not just national parks? What's the best practice?
Well, before I answer, I want you to know I have some of that same petrified wood that came home with folks that went to Yellowstone, Joshua Tree, and brought back this wonderful stuff. But it is illegal to take plants and animals, wood, and soil from national and most state park systems. There are permits required for stands and perches that one would set out to observe nature or for the purposes of hunting, studying, or photographing wildlife.
A lot of times, even for established mountain bike trails at state parks, you still need a permit to ride your bike, too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So what about leaving things behind? It's illegal probably to take things, right, in most instances, or just not a great practice. You should just leave it as you found it. What about leaving things after you've been there?
It's also illegal to abandon animals there. My wife and I had an experience at Fox Lake Park in Charleston, Illinois, and we found a dog that someone had sadly abandoned there. It's illegal to abandon plants or plant waste, particularly wood, and litter. That makes common sense, right?
So what's the main reason? I mean, obviously, it's going to clutter up or you don't want to dump your garbage at a state park. But, wood, is that because of the invasive species or insects that might be in the wood?
Exactly.
Can we sometimes leave behind what we don't even see or maybe aren't even aware of? Let's say garlic mustard seeds or seeds from other invasive plants on our shoes. There are sometimes these shoe brushes I see at trailheads, so you can rake your shoe through them to kind of knock off some of the invasive species. I assume that's sort of a problem people don't even think about.
I think so, because it's a problem we encounter at the Science Laboratory Building Research Greenhouse. We're fighting some pests right now, and we believe that they probably came in on people's clothes from another area or chamber where plants that were infected were held. And that's a great point, Mike, about the shoe and tire brushes that you have at parks. And absolutely, diseases like canker, various kinds of weed seeds, they can be carried around in the folds of your clothes or in the mud on your shoes.
And are those shoe brushes, I guess they're better than nothing. Are they effective?
I would think they would have to be. And what's nice about them is you're not wasting a bunch of water and not inoculating those seeds with something to help them grow. You're just knocking them off your shoes or your bicycle tires.
I've seen trees used as signposts, fence posts. Is this just a case of not using one's head or not caring?
Well, I can tell you that using trees to display signs also requires some level of permission or permitting. Typically, The rules include no permanent fasteners like nails or screws are allowed. Rather, they encourage the use of cordage, tape, bungees to temporarily hang a sign, for example.
So let me admit something. I have actually locked my bike to a tree. After we talked about this, I realized that at a movie theater here in town, I rode my bike to a movie, and there was no bike rack. And there were some trees out in front in sort of spaces in the sidewalk that would allow the tree to just enough space to grow. So I locked my bike to that. Didn't want to, didn't really have a choice. There was nothing else to lock to. I've also wrapped a cable around a tree at a campsite and locked a bike. Again, not great practices, but I didn't damage the tree, did I?
That's the key thing, I think, Mike, is so, you know, there's a building right here on campus, Fell Hall, that has a little patio area near the front where there's a garbage can and some bike racks and a little bit of frontage seating. And near that bike rack, there is a tree. Now, there's plenty of times when students roll up on their bikes and there's no vacancy in the rack, so they go to the tree. And that is related to site selection, right? So you can't blame everything on somebody like locking a bike to a tree, but then there's the behavior part of it. There's the respect part of it. Did you lock it around there with a logging chain and draw it tight like you're trying to pull a grizzly bear out of a tree? Probably not. You're probably kind, and you just had it locked on there tight enough to prevent somebody from, you know, stealing the tires off of it or whatever. I think that points out the difference between respecting something or, you know, you got to have the right to secure your belongings. I don't think that's evil. I just think you have to practice taking care of the tree.
I didn't secure it tight. My main concern was that I was afraid somebody might actually damage the tree further, chop the top off of it, and just lift my bike out and go.
That's a real possibility.
Because the tree wasn't very big, and you can cut through a tree pretty easily if you really wanted the bike. I've camped with people who prefer a hammock over a tent. Tell me about hammocking and properly tying it off to a tree. I've actually seen people do this on the Illinois State University quad as well.
It's popular here on the quad in the Fell Arboretum. There is also a student club at Illinois State called Hammond Out ISU, and they meet regularly, and they utilize hammocks for student life and study time activities. And these practices need to include respect measures that prevent damaging trees while hanging and using the hammocks. It's kind of common sense, again, accompanied by some respect behavior. No chain or wire tie downs. Cushions are best, but rare. A cushion can be a couple of folds of cardboard. It doesn't have to be something that you go and invest a lot of money in.
Just something to protect the bark.
Flat straps and compressible cordage are common on these kinds of hammocks and tents and things nowadays, and they can be used without damaging the bark and the crucial cambium layer that's right beneath the bark.
So are you going to ruin climbing trees for kids?
Absolutely not. Children need to know how to climb trees and how to fall out of them without getting hurt.
So it's okay to climb a tree. You just have to be careful about how you do it.
Yeah, and
mainly kids, not adults.
Right, and you know, if a tree is climbable for a child, it's climbable for an adult.
And maybe the branches may not be big enough to support an adult.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Climbing trees can be fun and allow for a great vantage point to gaze on nature. But there are trees that are prone to a type of disease called canker. There are many canker disease scenarios, but the soil particles on the bottom of our shoes can be put into contact with the tree while we force ourselves up into the tree.
If you have any questions about respecting trees and nature, submit them at wglt.org/grow. Next week, we'll talk about whether starting plants from seeds or live plants is better. Why not a combination of both?
For education purposes, a combination of both is very wise.
Okay, we'll talk more about that next week on Grow. I'm Mike McCurdy with Patrick Murphy. Send your gardening questions to wglt.org/grow.